All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
So Susan Crawford is a law professor and has written a book about the telecoms industry. Susan, thank you so much for being here.
Glad to be here.
So I'm going to start out with listing a few names here. AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Sandy. When I say those names, what springs to your mind?
Well, what comes to mind is that when we have a disaster, we don't have any confidence that any of these companies are actually going to make sure that we can continue to communicate with our loved ones, because we've deregulated these giant companies who actually control internet access in America. They're under no obligation to have particular levels of backup power. They don't have to make sure that people can continue to communicate. They're just doing what makes sense for their profit motives.
So I'm remembering myself after Sandy, and it was weird. Like, I was able to use my phone for a while, but then the cell towers went dead, and what happened?
Well, the basic problem was power in the city. So without electricity, you can't charge the cell phone. You also can't get the cell tower to work. But what you can do in advance of a disaster is make sure that everybody has a lot of backup power to the cell towers, to maybe making sure that they're rolling around trucks called cell towers on wheels so that we can continue to connect and charge our cell phones. That kind of backup resilience was not in place before Sandy because it's not required. It's not particularly in the interest of the companies to do it. It's all up to them. It's a matter of their grace, not of government oversight.
And here we are a year later. Has anything changed?
No. In fact, it continues to be the case that both the FCC and the State Public Utilities Commission are looking into this, but have not expressed power to ensure that these levels of backup assistance are in place.
So let's go back then. How did we get here? There's a weird system that's been set up here where the country is sort of divvied up between them, right?
Yeah, we're subject to many great divides. So basically, cable has won the wired high-speed internet access marketplace. It dominates all over America, and especially for high-capacity connections, more than 85% of Americans have just one choice, which is their local cable monopolist. Also, the cable guys divided up the country among themselves. They said, you take Minneapolis, I'll take Sacramento, and they never compete in each other's territories. The big phone companies, AT&T and Verizon, they're actually mostly concentrated on wireless these days. Two-thirds of Verizon's revenues come from wireless. AT&T has announced that it's going to be backing away from the copper wires that gave us DSL. So they have built a little bit of fiber, which might compete with cable, but for most of Americans, they've got no choice but their local cable monopoly, and there's no oversight. Over the last 10 years, we've steadily deregulated this sector, hoping that competition instead of regulation would protect consumers. But it turns out that where consolidation and cooperation is possible, competition is impossible, and
so
we've learned that lesson.
You're saying that despite being competitors, they're actually great buddies.
Well, it makes a lot of sense.
It's like, well, I'll take those states down there. You have those. Mm-hmm. And let's lobby together to make sure it stays like that. Is that what you're saying?
That's what's happened. So we're stuck with the cable guys for the wires. And here's the really sad story for the country. Cable is not the best technology. It's not future-proof. It's not symmetrical, meaning you can't upload with as much vehemence and, creativity as you can download. The only thing that's going to work for that is fiber, and there's no incentive from either oversight or competition for the country to make an upgrade to fiber.
I mean, I have to say, I talk to a lot of business and tech people in New York City, and you ask them, like, what's your number one request? Broadband. Broadband, 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 broadband. They can't stop talking about it. How is it possible that the people who are allegedly driving the new economic engine of the United States aren't getting what they need to grow their companies?
Well, New York has a lot of charms, density, all kinds of urban appeal. What we don't have is a terrific high-speed internet access connection at reasonable prices. We have not, as a city, overseen this facility. The problem's going to come when startups move to places like Kansas City or Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Lafayette, Louisiana, where they've got fiber networks for very cheap prices. New York has not made that decision yet.
I mean, I just have to pick up on some of the names that you just said. I'm sure they are lovely towns, Chattanooga, Kansas City, but I'm sorry, I live in New York. Why on earth would those cities, I mean, why do they have a better situation than the number two city in the nation for tech?
It's all about policy. It's where you set your priorities. And this city has not set it as a priority to get world-class fiber infrastructure to all the businesses. It's really terrible in Brooklyn and Queens. If you're a new startup moving there, there's no chance you're going to get an inexpensive fiber connection, which you're going to need for your new business. So right now, it's just a few cities across the country. When there are 20 cities, New York is going to have to pay attention and change the way it does things.
Now, Chattanooga, it's municipal broadband,
right?
And in Kansas City, it's Google that's come in.
That's right.
Let's talk about what the other options are when and if New York does wake up. What are the possibilities?
Every time a street is opened up in New York, like right outside my apartment building this morning, Con Ed is at work. When you open up the street, put in conduit. Make sure that there's a lot of extra space in that blank tube for fiber to go through. Mm-hmm. Make sure that the city uses its rights of way to push forward a fiber network that serves everybody. What Chattanooga did was ride on top of its existing electrical utility and use their rights of way. That would be difficult in New York City, but New York has a lot of power over the streets. And get this, in Manhattan and the Bronx, there's actually a facility regulated by the city of New York called Empire City Subways. It was set up in 1910. It's supposed to provide infrastructure throughout the avenues in Manhattan and the Bronx. Problem is, Verizon now controls Empire City Subways. It's not completely in their interest to let competition serve business buildings in New York. So we've got a screwed up situation in our beloved city. And I'm really, really worried about it. It's certainly my top priority for the next mayor. I'll be in there making as much noise as possible saying, let's fix this. It takes time. This is like the root canal of policy. You have to open up the streets, make sure that conduit's there, string fiber into buildings. Every time you're maintaining a building, the city could insist that every building in New York is fiber ready, that it has a point in the building where fiber can come in and where competitors can serve.
Now, with fiber, just a technical question. Yeah. Fiber would make quicker, easier access. But what about in an emergency situation? Is the fiber going to, does that really mean like we still need to think about copper if there's another Sandy?
What we need to think about is backup power, because we're all going to be exiting copper. There's no question. And we need to make sure that we've got ways of getting power sources into the city that aren't now present. We need alternative sources of energy. And I know the Bloomberg administration did a lot of thinking about this. As far as I know, they haven't yet implemented the idea of just changing the energy grid around the city so we're not so dependent on a few points of failure for electricity.
I was saying to you, like, I can smell Sandy in the air today. That damp sort of leaves on the ground sort of really bringing me back viscerally to what happened a year ago. What can we do a year from now? Okay, we've recovered. Let's think. What can we do? When I walk out this door of this studio, what can I as a consumer do?
Well, I want to capture that feeling of being completely unconnected. The most human desire, our central need, is to be connected to people around us. And so remembering how bad it was in Sandy is really important, because we should be driven to demand of the new mayor in New York City that this be a top priority. We've got to get this infrastructure in place, lots of backup power all over the place, alternative sources of energy, maybe solar on the street corners of New York City, whatever we can do to make sure this doesn't happen again.
And just to be clear, if Sandy, God forbid, another Sandy did happen next week, would we be in the same situation?
Yes, we would.
Susan Crawford, thank you so much for being here.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thanks.